I was thinking about fashion the other day. Men think about fashion. Don't give me that look like, what? I didn't say I had any style. I said I was thinking about fashion. Those are two different things. And I was thinking, whoever came up with a man wearing one of these things around his neck looks good, ought to be shot. Anyway, so with that thought in mind, don't get any guns. If this summer, when it gets hot, you would prefer not to wear a tie, guys, ladies, please don't start. Feel free. Because your staff has already decided we're not going to wear them this summer. Harold did a handspring when he heard that news. You didn't know he could do that, did you? It was amazing. We've got some cool new shirts coming that have got the church logo on it. You'll be able to purchase one if you'd like to. But we're going to wear those this summer and just kind of relax a little bit this summer. Not with the gospel, but with some clothes that are comfortable when it's hot outside. And so feel free. If you want to wear a tie, feel free to wear a tie. If you think it's necessary, I don't have a problem with that. But I want you to know we're going to take a break. Come on, guys. Give me an amen. Amen. All right. Good. You don't ever wear a tie anyway, so what do you care? All right. 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we considered the life of Daniel, young 80-year-old guy faced with a struggle, and he was faithful. He trusted God through it. Then we looked at another 80-year-old guy named Moses as he faced the struggle in his life and the situation in his life and how God said, I want you to go down and be the mouthpiece for me in Egypt to God's people. Last week, we looked at a young lady in her 20s probably named Ruth, who was not Israelite. She was a Moabite, and she chose to cast her lot with God's people, and we saw how God used her life and blessed her through that process. Of course, you've got your Bible, so turn to Genesis chapter 12 as we look at our last character in our series. We're back on guys, and we're back on old guys. It just worked out that way, 80, 80, and 75. I'm not saying you're old if you're 75. I'm just saying, compared to Ruth, all these guys are old, okay? And so we're going to look at a guy named Abram. We know he becomes Abraham. He's not there yet. We find a man who's elderly, living in a place called Haran. You and I would call that Iraq today, is where he's living. He's not a child of God. He's not a Hebrew. But he is a man whom God chooses to use to be the father of his people. And his task was this, to listen, to be sent, and then to go where God told him to go. So just three things this morning as we think about graduates and as we think about trusting God and as we think about wrapping up our series on trusting God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 begins this way. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is this. Abraham has a calling from God. His calling is very clearly spelled out in verses 1 through 3. We could spend hours looking at his calling because there's a lot there. There's about seven things in the list. We're going to look at them kind of quickly. Abram was the eldest son of a guy named Terah, who had actually heard God speak to him as well, and he had chosen to leave the land of the Ur, the Chaldees, and he had moved to Haran. But when they got to Haran, they kind of got stuck. They stayed, and then he lived there until he died. Abram's people were herdsmen. They were living off the land, so they needed things like grass and water and a market nearby where they could market their goods and get them sold. They also lived lives that were kind of nomadic in a sense, though they would settle down for time. Into the midst of all of this, God looks into his life and says, here's what I have for you. It's a sevenfold task. Let me just kind of give you a quick rundown of what they are, and real quickly, I want you to see them because there's a purpose behind when God speaks. First of all, he's going to give him a land. And you're going, well, I thought he lived in Haran. Well, he lived there, but he didn't own there. He was more like a renter, if you will, a squatter, if you will. He's just hanging out there. God says, you're going to leave where you are, and you're going to go to another place. You're going to leave the current familiar surroundings, and you're going to go to another land, and I'm going to show you that place, and it's going to be yours. Second, he says, I'm going to make you to be a people. Now, we didn't talk about it, but Abram had zero children at this point in his life. 75, no kids. Wife was a little younger than him. She's still not a spring chicken. They have no kids. He's going to be the father of many people. God is telling him, I'm going to perform a miracle in your life. Third, he promises a great name. You're going to be one who transforms and is an impact on generations of people behind you. Now, Abram is a man, Abraham becomes his name. He's revered not only in Christianity, he's also revered in Judaism. Did you know that he's also revered in Islam? He is known across three of the largest three faiths on planet Earth. He's an important figure in all of those. Fourth, he's going to be a blessing to others. His faithful response to the call of God in his life was this. Not only would millions of people who are be Jewish, but he's also the father through his lineage of multitudes of peoples, multitudes of nations, multitudes of groups on planet Earth. He has a great impact. Fifth, God is going to bless those who bless him. And it's going to result in the children of Abraham having a significant impact on the world. We could talk for hours on the impact of Abraham's children, not only through Judaism, but through Islam and through Christianity, and how God has worked through this man's lineage. Sixth, he says, I'm going to curse those who curse you. A lot of people live under the curse because they choose to reject and abuse the people of God. Seventh, and I want you to see this one because there's seven things here. Seventh, he's going to be a blessing specifically to the world. Now, the one I want you to see there is this, is Abram, through his line, is going to bring a lineage through whom comes redemption's story. It is through Abram's lineage that Jesus one day comes, that Ruth becomes part, as we talked about last, becomes part of the family. And his call was huge, not only for him, but through his progeny. God has spoken to this man and says to him, I've got something for you. Now here's what I want you to see this morning, graduates and non-graduates alike. God has something for you. God has something for you. You're going, I don't know what it is. But I can guarantee you, God has something for you. He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. What does God have for you today? We honor our graduates today because this is a milestone in life. But where do you go from here? What's next? Abram had graduated from being son to being patriarch in the family when Terah passed. What's he going to do? How is he going to lead his family? How is he going to lead his tribe? From all accounts, what do we know about Abram? He was a pretty wealthy fella. He had a lot of cash. He had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of servants. He had staff around him. But what was God's plan for him? One of the big areas of trusting God is believing that he actually, listen, actually has a direction for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. He doesn't merely save you to set you on a shelf. I'm done. Saved, check, finished. Now live 40, 50, 60, 70 years and then die. That's not God. God does not work that way in your life. And if your understanding of God is, well, he saved me, I'm finished, can I just be honest with you? You got the wrong idea. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God we profess to follow. Regardless of where you're headed, as long as God is leading you, listen, you can be assured that he's going in the right way. Abram was most likely pretty content where he was. I mean, think about it. He's got everything together. He's got a wife. He's got servants. He's got cattle. He's got sheep. He's got all the stuff. And yet God breaks into his life and says, but I got something else. His life is in a pretty tough place to move. When things get comfortable, right, it's hard to pick up and move. It's hard to pick up and change. And yet God is speaking to him. And I want to ask you the question today, what plan does God have for you? What is his purpose for you? Where is God leading you? Where is God speaking to you? Where is God going to take you? Do you have a list? Do you have seven things? Listen, do you got one thing that God has for you? Abram had seven. I can tell you in my life, I can share if we had more time, God has two or three things that he's called me to do. And I know that very clearly in my heart. And I can tell you, I've tried to get away from it. I've tried to run from it. And every time I do, God just kind of smacks me around like a rag doll and says, no. I want you here. When God speaks to you and he tells you, this is what I have, he's going to keep after you till you get there. Abram has been told by God, this is what I've got for you. I've got to ask you, what does God have for you? What is his purpose for your life? See, before you know it, graduates, you're going to be getting old. You're going to be pushing 25. And you're going to look around and go, whew, things don't work like they used to. Yeah, there's not a 25-year-old back there. Well, got one, sorry. Are you going to go, man, where am I at now? I'm 40. Man, things are getting tough. See, some of you are chuckling because you're going, if only I could be 40 again. You say, well, I don't know where my life's headed. Listen, it doesn't matter where you are right now. If God is leading you, he's got something for you, and he wants to take you. Abram had a calling from God, and if you're a child of God, you do too. And don't push him away and say, well, maybe later, maybe some other time. Let's come on down to the story, because here's what happens. Look at verse 4. First three words in the ESV translation, at least. So Abram went. Don't blow past that. Abram was told by God, I got something for you. It includes this, 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 and this. Seven things. So Abram's response was, went. Not we'll go, not we'll think about it, we'll talk about it, we'll consider it, we'll debate it, we'll have a conversation. His answer was, went. For those of you who are grammatically challenged, that's past tense. He has not put it off. He has said yes. Here's what's going on. Abram is conforming to God. Let's read on the text. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. Now, when God calls in your life, here's what happens. When God speaks to you, and when he speaks to me, and when he says, I want to talk to you, he's going to speak, and he's going to say, this is what I have, this is my direction, this is my thought, this is what I want. But you've got to make a choice in that moment, right? You've got to go, okay, am I going to trust God enough to take those steps forward or not? Now, this is such a difficult decision, isn't it? Because what about this? What if this plays out? What if this turns out? What if this goes this way? What if this doesn't go well? What if this happens here? Does that sound like any of us? It sounds like me, I can tell you that. We start to debate and discuss and think about. But let me help you out. You ready? I'm going to give you two words that'll make this real clear. You ready? It's tough. You ready? Get your pen ready. One of them is yes, and the other one is no. You go, oh, it's not that easy. Actually, it is. When God speaks, you answer yes or no. Which is it going to be? Abram's response was this. See, the God of the universe has come into his life and says, here's what I have for you. This is my plan. These are the seven things. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say to you, you're going to be part of this. You're going to be something. He goes, I got no kids. I don't know how this is going to happen, but he says he's going to do it. I'm going to what? Trust him. See why he's in our series? He says, I'm going to trust God to work. I'm going to trust God to move in my life. You say, but it's not that simple, Patrick. There has to be more to the decision. Come on. I want you to understand Abram had a choice to make. Yes or no? Which would it be? His choice was made very, actually quickly and pretty clearly. Abram went. He didn't talk about it. There's no long conversation, no thought process, no debate, no weighing of this option or that option. He says, yes. Yes. While this may seem too simple, can I tell you something? It really is that simple. You either say yes or no. Will you say yes to God's calling your life, or will you say no to God's calling your life? So the decision is in place to follow. Notice what happens. Abram doesn't, his decision doesn't just impact him. Catch this. Because anytime you make a decision to hear God's voice and say yes, it's going to impact those around you. You with me? You say yes. What's going to happen? Who comes along? Sarai. Did she have a choice? I don't know. Probably not, but she says, let's go. Who else was it going to impact? Servants, people, those around them. Oh, and by the way, a nephew says, I think I'll go too. Now, Lot didn't have to go. He chose to go. He went. There's a destination. Where is it? Canaan. How far is Canaan away from Haran? Well, best guess, 400 miles. That's not a bad drive if you got a car. It's a long way when you're tugging along everybody in the family and all the stuff and you're riding camel. I mean, it takes a while to get there. It's not a quick journey. He's picking up, moving to the unknown land based on what? God says, this is what I have for you. Listen, that's not easy, is it? And yet in a real way, it is. In so many ways, what he's doing is he's expressing a serious trust in the God who has spoken to him and said, this is what I have for you. The God of the Bible has said, leave it here, take your stuff, and let's go. How's it going to work out? They don't know. Where are they going to end up at? They don't even know the details. Well, what's Canaan look like? We don't know. God said, go. Let's go. Here's what I want you to understand, second of all. Following God, and I'm going to use a strong word here, so hang in there with me, demands trust. Following God, it demands that we trust God. You can't go, well, I think I'll see what the work works out. I'll work out the options. We'll think. No, it demands a trust. When you sense that God's calling you to follow him, there comes a point, listen, where you have to take a step of faith, a leap of faith into the unknown and trust God. God, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I'm going to trust you. See, far too many of us demand answers. We go, I want all the answers laid out first. I want all the reasons thought through second. I want all the assurances here. And by the way, God, I want to guarantee that it's going to be better when I get there than when I'm here. Can I tell you something? That's not God. God says, trust me. Trust me. And the real heart of the matter is this, will you? When you look at the life of Abram, what you see is this, a man who takes a huge leap of faith into the great unknown, trusting that God is going to provide for all of his needs. Now, honestly, how many of you actually trust God to take care of your future in all aspects? God, I trust you. Those are easy words. It's a whole lot different to do, isn't it? Trust God. I know some will say, well, I trust God, but you know what? I don't really trust the world in which I live. This world's kind of crazy. Hello? I live in the same world you do. It is a little wacko, a little nutso at times, right? It's off kilter. So the call, though, is here is not for some kind of mindless faith, but it is a faith that is an absolute faith that says, God, I'm going to trust you even when I don't know what's coming. I'm going to trust you even when I don't know the outcome. And if you're going to live your life to the full as a child of God, listen, you're going to have to allow God to, he wants to manifest in your life his full presence. There will come a place when you're likely going to have to take a leap of faith and trust him. Trust him. This life of faith and trust is going to lead you sometimes to places you go, I don't have a clue where I'm at. And it may just scare you to death. I remember a few years ago, I had a group. We were taking into Mexico to do some construction, and we were going to do a pastor's conference in the mountains of central Mexico, north central Mexico. And the group was about 20, 22 people. And we get to the border, and we were going to spend the night at this little retreat center, and then we were leaving at dawn the next morning. And I have to tell you, that night I didn't sleep much. I've been to Mexico a number of times, and I've never really sensed fear until that trip. Because here's what's going to happen. 20-something, 22 gringos are going to be traveling down the highway for 6 hours into Mexico. You talk about a very exposed group of people, a very obvious group of people. We were about to cross the border that next morning, and I stayed up most of the night praying, saying, God, you're going to have to do for us. You're going to have to provide for us. You're going to have to provide your protection for us. Did he have to? He didn't have to. I'm here to tell you this morning, he did answer the prayer. Oddly enough, it rained all the way down that day, and then it rained all the way back on Saturday. Now you're going, why would that matter? Who wants to check the bottom of a van for anything when it's raining? They would just pass us through checkpoint after checkpoint after checkpoint, and God's provision was there. You're going to have to make a decision, listen, that says, God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to step out on faith with you if you're going to see God do the things he wants to do in your life. One more thing I want you to see, and we'll be done. Abram's calling was from God, his conformingness to God, but what happened next? Here's what happens. Abram's course is forward with God. Look at verses, the end of verse 5 and 9 through 9. When they came to the land of Canaan, so they made the 400-mile journey. They get to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Now, for those of us who are geographically challenged, it sure helps to have a map in hand when you read a passage like that, because you go Shechem, Bethel, Ai, Negev. Well, where is that at? Okay? I mean, you're just kind of going, I don't know where those places are. Here, one of the odd things about this story is that we're really never told how God reveals himself. What we're told is they get to the land, and then God appears. What did God look like? Don't know. How did he appear? Don't know. What did he say? Well, we know what he said. He says, to your offspring, I'm going to give this land. But beyond that, what did he sound like? What did his voice sound like? We don't know. It doesn't matter because it's God speaking. Out of this encounter, here's what happens. Abram has loaded up the tribe. They've moved to this place. He's made the step into the step of faith into a truly unknown direction. They've left the place with sufficient supplies. They come to this promised land. They get there after 400 miles. They come to a land they've never seen, and they arrive at a place called the Oaks of Mamre, or the Oak of Moreh, or the terebinth is another way to translate that Hebrew the Hebrew word there. It's a nut tree that's found in the Middle East. It's related to the pistachio, if you're interested. Not that it matters. But they get to this place, and when they get to Shechem, something amazing happens. God says to you, this is your land. This is the place. Now remember, Abram had how many kids? Zero. None. How many wives did he have? One at this point. Another conversation for another day. And the land, by the way, is occupied by a group of people called the Canaanites. It's not an empty land. So the promise would have kind of gone, God, you're going to have to do something amazing here. Oh, by the way, Shechem, same place that Jacob encounters God later with a ladder or stairway and builds another altar to the Lord. It's kind of a neat place. You can't go there very easily today because of where it's located. But then Abram says, okay, we're going to move a little further on. And where's he go? He goes from Shechem down to Bethel. He goes south 30, 40 miles and comes to another place where he encounters God. Now, when he gets there, what did he do? He didn't just have God come to him and encounter him. What did he do? Notice, he does this. He goes to God and builds an altar and worships and encounters God. Do you see what's happening with his faith? It's growing as he moves forward. He's taking steps forward. His faith in the Lord is expanding and growing as his second encounter is here. Then what does he do? He says, pack up the tribe. We're headed south again. That's biblical evidence that God prefers that we live in the south, if you're just wondering. Anyway, just seeing if y'all listening or not, okay? Then the tribe moves the third time, heading to the Negev. Now, what does Negev or Negev mean? It's a Hebrew word. It means the dry place. Now, why would you move to the dry place? Only if God tells you to go there do you go. And he gets there, and he gets near the modern city of Hebron. By the way, it's the place he buys a plot for his family to be buried. And years ago, you could travel to Hebron and see those sites. You can't get there easily today. But his desire was this. He says, I want to be where God is and where God leads me and what God has for me. And his obedience leads him to do things that you kind of go, that didn't make a lot of sense. And yet God's leading. Here's what I want you to see, and we'll wrap up. God's plan. Y'all sitting down? Good. God's plan often includes change. You know, I don't like change. I understand. I don't like change either. You go, I thought you liked to change everything. No, I don't. But God's plan often, not always, often includes change. Let me tell you something. Change, that's a word that so many people are just downright afraid of. I don't want change. You know, most of us are creatures of habit, right? Me too. We start down a pathway that's called life. We graduate from high school. We start doing things a certain way as our own lives begin to shape up. And we live certain ways and we do certain things and we do certain things in certain ways. And we get used to a comfortable pathway. We become self-satisfied and we go, I like where I'm at. I like what I'm doing. I like this. I like this. I like this. I've got my stuff around me. But can I tell you something? So often God's plan for your life and my life requires change. Whether it be something as small as changing our routine or something as big as a radical reordering of our entire lives, the process of following God and his will for us very often demands change. So if God wants us to change and to be transformed, to be like him, and trust is what's going to get us there, why do we resist change? I wish I had an answer to that one. I wish we had time to explore that a lot further this morning, but we really don't. I think one of the reasons that I do want to bring up as we finish this series is this. Do you really trust God? Do you really trust him? Do I really trust him? Notice I'm not asking if you believe God is going to lead your life in the direction that you like or even in the direction that you might find comfortable, but simply this. Do you trust God? One of the things that we learn from the life of Abram is this. He said, I trust God. And how do we know he trusted God? He moved. When God said go, he said yes. And he went. He didn't know the quality of the land he was going to receive. It could have been a desert. In fact, where he ends up at is kind of a dry area. He didn't know the level of safety he would find. He didn't know if the people in the land would like kill him when he got there. He didn't know if God would actually give him children or not. He said, you're going to be a great nation. It's kind of necessary to have something to pass on. But he did know this. And this is what I want you to see. He did know the quality of the one leading him. Do you see that? He said, I don't know where he's going to take me. I don't know what his plan is. I don't know if it's going to be comfortable or easy or if things can stay the same. But I know the one leading, and I trust him. That's what I want you to see. When God calls to you, when God speaks to you, when God says, this is my plan for your life, this is my direction for your existence, there is absolutely no reason not to trust God. God, I trust you. I could share story after story of times in my life and in our life as a husband and wife where we have looked out and said, God, we don't understand why you're doing this. We don't know where you're going to work in this. But we trust you. We trust you. We trust you, God. See, by definition, if God is not worthy of our trust, then why is he our God? If he's not worthy and wise enough to lead us as he would see fit, why do we follow him? By definition, God, his purposes are always good. His directions are always right. And even when we don't fully understand, and even when you don't really know what's going to happen next, you understand he's working for our good to bring about his plan. So as we wrap up this morning, I got to ask you the question. Have you placed your trust in God? You could use a synonym there. Have you placed your faith in God? Are you trusting him and him alone for all your life? And if not, why not? If not, why put it off? If not, why not trust him today? Let me close with this. God desires that you trust him with your entire life. Everything. He wants to lead you. Will you let him? Father, we just praise your name this morning for the story of people like Abram. Lord, we look at his life and we think you used him. God, we see even after the call in his life, he did some pretty dumb things down the way through his life. And yet you continued to work through him. We might even say you worked in spite of him at times. God, our prayer is for those in this place who've never placed their trust in you, that today might be the day they would do it. For those who have trusted you with their lives but have not made a commitment to a local body of believers or followed you in believers' baptism, that the Father, that today might be the day they take that stand. God, there's many in this room, even our graduates, about to be graduates, who are wondering what you have for them. God, our prayer is that you would allow them to trust you, to stand with you, and to let you lead their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing this song of response. Maybe you need to respond to the Lord publicly. That's what this time is for. We wait for you. God, we pray that you bless your children, your saints, as they go this week and live lives that reflect you and your presence in their existence. God, I pray that you would let us live lives that lift you up, that exalt you, and that, Father, are being transformed by your presence in us. God, I pray a blessing upon our graduates, Father, the ones about to graduate. We pray that you would just give them a faith that is beyond their years to trust you over the next months and years as they begin to move into adult life and begin to live lives independent of family. God, give them wisdom to do life in a way that blesses you and is consistent with the relationship that they profess to have to you. God, we thank you for the week. We pray that your hand would be with us in Jesus' name.